your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And in the first six verses, we read something that is very, very, very helpful and very instructive when it comes to finding the knowledge of God. Finding the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 2, read with me beginning in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will help us. You've given us a very instructive text today, Father, one that would guide us and lead us in understanding the words of God and finding the knowledge of God. We're asking you, please, to help us diligently in the understanding of this particular text, because it may guide us, Father, to accomplish what you want us to do with regard to your word and with regard to your knowledge. This is a task greater than man, a task very suited for you, our supernatural God. Lord, we pray that you will work very powerfully in our midst. Also, Father, today we pray for Randy Mitchell and Joe Shag, the pastors of Temple Baptist and Bible Baptist in Statesville, North Carolina, and Willard, Ohio. Two pastors, Father, for whom I hope many churches around the country are praying today. We pray, Father, that your work in their midst will be very evident, that you will strengthen these men with wisdom and help them to be able to teach their congregations to work within your great provisions. And Father, we pray with these churches that you will lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, sow the seed of the Word of God bountifully, work powerfully for missions, Father, and exalt your glory amongst them. And we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, many people get saved, of the ones who get saved, many of them get saved, and then they stagnate. In other words, they just don't grow. And the reason is often that they don't find the knowledge of God beyond just simply knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, which is something you need to know. I mean, that in itself is wonderful, but there's so much more to the Christian life and so much more to the knowledge of God than simply knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what we tell people when they get saved and they want to know more about the Lord, we say, read your Bible and come to church for the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so they'll get started reading the Bible and they get frustrated. Because as they read, they say later, well, I really don't understand. And you may have been one that has even told me that, and this isn't directed toward you, it's directed toward the text. You're not alone. A number of people have said that. I just really don't understand much of what I'm reading. And so what happens is they get frustrated. Read a little while and just give up. Because, you know, and truly, when you think about the Bible and the way that it's worded, it doesn't read like a newspaper. It doesn't read like a magazine article. It doesn't read like a blog on the internet. It doesn't read like the comments on the blogs, for sure. And, you know, it's different. It sounds different, and it reads differently, and the sentence structure is often different, and sometimes the words are not familiar to you in your vocabulary. And so what happens is you just start and you think, you know, like a New Year's resolution, I was good at that once, but I've given up on it because I just don't get it. So today what we're going to do is we're going to read and study this passage of Scripture that is our text and find out what it takes to find the knowledge of God, because it's more than just a cursory attempt at trying to read a chapter or two a day. We hope to be able, by this text, to go beyond the doctrine of Christ, as Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, and go on now to perfection, that is, to knowing more about the knowledge of God. And so what we're going to do is simply look at this text and see what it says about finding the knowledge of God. And first of all, notice in this text the process of finding the knowledge of God. It starts in verse 1. My son, notice the condition, if. In other words, it's not a given. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be saved. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be saved. If thou will receive my words. So, here's a person then that's trying to find the knowledge of God, which we read about in verse 5. It says in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Well, there's a process. And the process begins with receiving my words, or receiving the words of God. You say, well, how do you do that? You're doing it right now. We just read 6 verses together. I've quoted a portion of a verse in Hebrews chapter 6. And now we're going and quoted another one, that if thou shalt believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. All right. We look in here in this passage. He says, if thou will receive my words. You are receiving if you're paying attention to this. I noticed a little while ago while we were singing the special, somebody sitting somewhere had something glossy and it was shining a light up on the ceiling, and I was looking around and I noticed a few people were doing this. You know, that there's ADD, there's ADHD, and then there's ooh shiny. And that was kind of like this one. I was looking at it for a moment. So, if, now everybody's looking for it. Okay, go up there and look. It's not there anymore, okay? It's gone. So, if you find it, I'll give you $5. Makes it hard to receive the words of God, but here you're receiving them now, if you're paying attention to this. You receive them through preaching, you receive them through teaching, you receive them through reading, and what happens is, you're simply absorbing the words of God. You know, Wednesday night, we had a couple of sermons, Jake Lennon preached or taught, and Bobby also taught or preached, whichever you call that. Both of them had well-outlined, well-organized messages for us, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed listening to that. You know what that does? That helps you, and you can remember when you've heard somebody else speak those things. So you absorb them. You come dry like a dry sponge. You hear the water of the Word of God, and it fills that sponge, and you absorb the words of God. But receiving the words of God go beyond just hearing them and reading them and participating in preaching and teaching. That really speaks to this, believing what you're hearing. There are a lot of people who know some things about the Bible, but they don't believe what they're reading. I remember when we used to do a lot of public ministry and be on the street preaching and things like that, and there were guys come by and they'd be drunk and they could quote to you verses like where Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thy oft infirmities, but had no idea of what Proverbs chapter 20 and Proverbs chapter 23 had to say about drinking. And they certainly, if I'd have told them, wouldn't have believed it, because they liked what they were doing. Believing those words of God so that you recognize that what God said is absolutely the truth. You know, we raise children, and many of you have raised children in church, and man, they can quote scripture, they can do Bible drills and find all the passages. They get older, and they get talked out of believing the words of God. They start believing in evolution, and they think Jesus Christ is a fairy tale and things like that. You know what the problem is? They received a lot of words, but they didn't believe them. And so when he says, if thou will receive my words, it's receiving my words, he said. These are God's words, and they are to be believed as his words. You know that is the crux of the problem many times, because when God gave command to Adam and Eve, the devil came and he said, yea, hath God said. He began immediately to attack those words and their confidence in those words. He shed some doubt in their mind about what God said. So receiving, listen, if you're going to find the knowledge of God through reading the Bible and through studying the Bible, through preaching and teaching, you're going to have to believe what he said and receive those words. That's how the process begins. The second way that it develops then, or begins, is in the second part of verse 1, he says, hide my commandments with thee. Hide my commandments with thee. What does Psalm 119, verse 11 say? Does anybody have Psalm 119, 11, Brother Heflin?
That word
I
have in my heart,
I'm not Yeah. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So it's not just a matter of receiving and believing those words, but then it's a matter of memorizing them. But he didn't say, thy word have I hid in my head or my brain or my mind that I might not sin against thee. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And the significance of that is that those commands become guiding principles in your life. Look, I can memorize the scripture, but if it doesn't become a guiding principle in my life, it's not going to show me the knowledge of God. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he had been to Israel before, and while he was there, he said a remarkable thing. The guides we had were intimately familiar with all of the passages in the Bible that dealt with all of the places that we were seeing and all of the things that Jesus Christ had done. He said, as a matter of fact, our guide had memorized the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I said, I know that because people on the tour were asking him, okay, so what's Jonah 2:2? Quote that thing. Quote that thing. Just like that. I mean, the guy knew it. But may I tell you something? He wasn't saved. That's amazing. But you know what that is? That's a man that had it here, but he didn't get it down in the heart. And listen. So it's not just a matter of memorizing them. It's a matter of getting them hidden in the heart where they become the rule of your life. Getting to know them so well that you can obey them without having to go back and look them up. These are, listen to what he says, my commandments, he called them. Those are not suggestions. Those are commandments. And when he says those, he intends for you to keep them. And when you begin to obey what you are reading and they get into your heart and they begin to guide your life, then you know what happens? You are in the process of getting to know God, or in the process of finding the knowledge of God. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of people that have come to me and said, you know what, I just don't understand what I'm reading, are not absorbing the words and then absorbing them in such a way that their lives change in accordance with what they're reading. You see? Where they have a life-changing effect on the person. Here's the next process of finding the knowledge of God. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. See what he says, right? So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. What does it mean to incline thine ear? It means to pay close attention, to listen willingly to what's going on. To concentrate, to pay attention. Different people have different ways of doing it. The guy that trained us in the ministry, Dr. Rutman, what he used to do is he would sit there when the teacher was teaching and he would draw soldiers, army. He would make all kinds of guys that were fighting in the military, infantrymen. You say, well, how'd that help him? I don't know. I couldn't have done that, but that allowed him to be able to concentrate on what was being said. When I'm where you are, and somebody's preaching, I have to take notes. And the reason I have to take notes is so that I can organize the thoughts and also write down main things that the Lord is addressing to me. Otherwise, I'm going to leave here and forget. Some people, to take notes or to doodle would be a distraction. Some people have to sit still and just listen. Pastor Keck never takes notes, to my knowledge. And yet he can tell you years later what somebody said in a sermon. It's like he latches on, concentrates, and gets from that sermon whatever it is that God wants him to have. But the ear is inclined, you see, unto wisdom. There's careful attention. The mind is not being distracted. Have you ever read your Bible and have your mind distracted? Mine is all the time. I'm sitting here reading what I'm supposed to be getting, and I'm thinking about something else. My mind just runs in two tracks like that, which sometimes is good and sometimes it's extremely dangerous, you know. So what do I have to do? The best way for me to read is to open the Bible and put earphones in my ear and listen to Alexander Scorby read, and I read along with him. Because that gets it in the eye and gets it in the ear. And if I get my mind settled on it and I get all three going, then I can get it. So, incline thine ear unto wisdom. You know, we have a lot of distractions in the world. And I read a book not too long ago called 9 Men in a Boat. It's about the 1936 gold medal rowing team in crew. They have, you know, it's a 9-man rowing team. And when they were in that competition on they'd gone through the qualifying rounds. Now they were in the gold medal round, and they got close to the finish line. The noise was so deafening they couldn't hear the coxswain, they couldn't hear the coxswain. And so he had in his hand two wooden handles that allowed him to steer that boat, to control the rudder. And what he realized that he could do is he could tap those wooden handles onto the edge of the boat, and the vibration was just enough that the rowers could sense it and keep time with the coxswain. In the midst of all that distraction, they were tuned in. Do you understand? All right, we've got a lot of distractions. There's music, there's thoughts, there's televisions, there's internet, there's radio, and a lot of noise. Somehow or another, you've got to train your ear to lock in to the sound of the words of God above the din so that you can incline your ear to wisdom and get it. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 at verse 20. Don't leave the passage. It's just across the page for you, perhaps. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20. Wisdom is speaking all the time. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You want to find the knowledge of God? You've got to go through the process, and part of the process is to incline your ear unto wisdom, which means you're going to have to tune out everything else that is competing with the sound of God's words and listen to what it says. Then he says also in the process, you have to, in verse 2 of Proverbs chapter 2, apply thine heart to understanding. Well, what does that mean? It means to employ yourself diligently to this work, to concentrate on it, like it was your job. To apply thine heart to understanding means that you are employed in a work, in a diligent work, in a diligent effort to be able to get out of the Bible what it says. Most of the time, and I don't say this always, but most of the time when you don't understand it, the problem comes from not working at it. In other words, God never intended to disguise these words where you couldn't get what you need. Now, I promise you that if you're reading through the Bible for your first time, you're not going to get the same thing out of a text that somebody who's read through it 50 times is going to get. And the reason is you're nourishing in it as milk, and the other person is nourishing in it as meat. But you're both going to get what you need, and you're both going to get the understanding God wants you to have. It's the only book in the universe that will satisfy the kindergarten class and the graduate class. It is a very unique ability to do it, even while it's being preached to the same audience. It just has that way. Now, it's hard to understand the Bible, and really, you have to apply your heart to it. You have to dig in it. So when somebody doesn't understand it, some of the time the problem is they're not digging in it. And that's part of the process where you're really employed in a diligent understanding of the Scripture. There could be another problem. Keep your finger where you are and go before the book of Psalms to the book of Job, Job 28:28. Just keep your finger where you are, but go to Job 28:28. Sometimes what happens is, in applying heart to understanding, there is a block. There is a blockage. And the blockage, it doesn't make any difference how hard you work at it, you're not going to get through it until you do Job 28:28. Job 28:28. Remember this, because we're going to refer to this again later in the message. Unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. To depart from evil is understanding. Sometimes the block is that the fellow has been exposed. Now, sin in his life has been exposed by the words of God, but he chooses to hang on to the sin and become disobedient to the words of God, and God said, that's it, no more. Not till you do what I showed you. I remember years ago we were in the B County Jail doing a jail ministry. I think it was on Monday nights, and there was a fellow there named Michael, and he had been reading the Bible. He started in Matthew. He read all the way to Revelation, went to Genesis, read all the way to the book of Proverbs, and just came to a screeching halt. And he asked me about it. I said, well, tell me what's been going on in your life lately. And he said, well, I had to go to court. And there's another man here in another block of cells in the county jail. He and I committed the crime together. And I lied to the judge to cover for my friend. I said, there's your problem right there. I said, you can hardly read through the book of Proverbs without coming across something that tells you not to lie. And you've been disobedient to God and disobedient to the Word of God, and now you're frozen. He says, are you telling me that the solution to my problem is to go back to the judge and tell the truth and the Bible will open up for me? I said, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. He says, the six guys that were with him said, you're nuts. His attorneys, dressed in orange suits. They all seem to know the law in there, you know. You know what that guy did? He called the sheriff, Sheriff Horn. Called the sheriff. Sent for him. Told the sheriff what he had done. Asked him to help set up an appointment with the judge. Got an appointment with the judge. Told him the truth. The judge moved him for his protection to another jail. And I was talking to a friend of ours. This has been, it's been over 20 years ago, nearly 25 years ago when all this happened. Well, let's see. Yeah, it's been over 20 years ago when this happened. I saw this friend of mine about 6 months ago, and he told me, you know what? I still get letters from Michael, and he's doing great. You know what he did? His understanding opened when he departed from evil. It's a condition. You apply your heart to understanding, which means I've got this. I have searched it out. God is showing me this, what I need to do. You do it, God keeps giving you more. You get hung. You end. You stop. And then this one. This is the process. So you see it. First of all, you receive those words, believing in them. Hide my commandments. You obey them. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. You really cut out all the distractions. Apply thine heart to understanding so that you're digging for it and you're living by it. And then he says in verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. Crying after knowledge. You know what this is? This is part of the process, but it's the second point as well. First of all, we've been looking at the process of finding the knowledge of God. You know what verse 3 is? It is the prayer for finding the knowledge of God. Part of the process is open up your heart to God and say, oh God, if you don't give me these words, I'll never get them. Please open my understanding that I may see what this Bible says. Look in verse 6. Of Proverbs chapter 2. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You see, that's where it comes from. Listen, you and I can go to all the commentaries that we want. We can listen to all the men that ever preached the text that we've ever wanted. Listen, they cannot open your understanding. God can. And so you talk to God. I'm not telling you that going to a commentary is the wrong thing to do. But if you go there and don't go to God crying after knowledge, you may come up with the wrong stuff. As many of our men are finding in the Bible study that we're doing now. You can't trust those things unless you know what God said. You know what James chapter 1 verse 5 says? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You want to know something about this Bible? Get on your face and cry out to God. And ask Him. Keep your finger where you are and turn to Luke chapter 24. Brother Benny was preaching in this text recently. I want to stress one thing about it. Luke chapter 24 is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the two men on the road to Emmaus. They meet up with Jesus Christ, but they don't recognize Him as Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. And in Luke chapter 24, when they don't understand who He is, verse 25, the Lord says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now you see, in Luke 24, 25, the problem with the two guys on the road to Emmaus, they're looking at Jesus Christ. I mean, the risen Savior is right there. If he wants to reveal himself, all he has to do is take his hands out of his pockets or robe or whatever he's doing with them and show them the hands and feet. That's what Thomas said. Show me those, I'll believe. And all he has to do is for them to believe is show him who he is. But he says, your problem is your soul of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he's going to reveal himself to them by the scriptures. Now, look at verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? In verse 44, when he's visiting with more disciples, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Who's going to teach you that Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime we ever get here in the pulpit, the thing we do is pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us so that when we're speaking, you know you're not getting these words from a man, although it's a man's voice and a man's presence, that you're getting these words from God. Because if you don't get them from the Lord, you're not going to get them. Or if you do, you might get mistaken. There are a lot of men standing in pulpits today proclaiming the words of God, and they're not teaching their people correctly. That's a great fear. Our prayer is we say what God once said and leave off what He doesn't once said, so that you get what He wants you to have out of the Scripture. It's very, very important. So you cry after knowledge. You make it a matter of diligent prayer. Years ago, I was doing radio broadcasts. This thing's been going on for 17 years. It's a long time of talking to people that you never see. You know, when I first started preaching on the radio, I put a monkey, a stuffed monkey, in a chair on the other side of the desk so I could talk to somebody. I was coming up on a text of Scripture, and I knew that I was going to have difficulty with it. I didn't understand it. The commentaries that I looked at, and I rarely go to them, I'm not saying that to be proud. It's just you've got to go to the Bible. They didn't have anything on it. It was a mess. And it had to do with a king in the Old Testament who in one place is 42 years old, another place is 22 years old, and nobody had the answer. And so I went to the office, which was in the backside of our garage. You remember that old room? And had the cassette player there ready to record. And I was not going to do that message unless I knew what the answer to that problem was. And I prayed that morning and I said, God, if you don't give me the answer to this, then we're not going to have this lesson. But if you want me to have it, you're going to have to show me what it is. And for the next 8 hours, I stayed there pouring over that scripture, pouring over that scripture. And you know what? God showed me what it was. And now that I've seen it, it was like right there in front of my face the whole time. But I just couldn't get it. It was just like these guys looking at Jesus Christ, and they couldn't see Him until He opened their understanding. Then they understood the Scriptures. And when we did, then we went in and did the broadcast. Then I came running down here to Corpus Christi to give them the cassette tape so they could broadcast the thing. But the point is, very simply, God sometimes will hold it off of you and not give you anything just to see if you really mean business. If you're going to cry out to Him, and if it becomes a matter of real urgency with you and me. Now, you know something you've noticed in this, just as a little side note? You've noticed a very significant triad here. Look what he says in verse 2 and 3 again. So that thou incline thine ear first to wisdom, secondly to understanding, and third to knowledge. You see it? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Look at verse 6. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. There are the three again. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 at verse 2. To know wisdom, that's one, and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, that's two, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge, that's three. There they are again. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 at verse 19. Somebody said one time, do you believe in intelligent design? Well, read this and you tell me. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. I think it's very intelligent design, involving wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Look in Proverbs chapter 24 at verses 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verses 3 and 4. Are you going to take us to every reference in the Bible for this? No. Just to show you how significant this triad is. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You can't have a home for God without wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. You can't raise a family for God without wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And you're not going to get that unless you get that out of this scripture, and you're not going to get it out of this scripture unless you cry out to God. God gives you something that will help you raise your family and build your house. It comes from here. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2. This triad is really all over the place. It's in Proverbs chapter 2. It's also in verses 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. There they are again. Well, what are these things? Well, I'll say it these two ways. Knowledge is the what of what you know. And understanding is the how of what you know. And wisdom is the who of what you know. Or put it this way, knowledge, that's the facts. Understanding, that's the faith. And wisdom, that's the fear. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Knowledge is the facts. Understanding is the faith. That's what puts those facts in motion in your life. Wisdom is the fear. And you fear God, you're going to get some wisdom. It's a very, very important triad here. So, first of all, we've seen the process. You had to go through these five things. And then the prayer of finding the knowledge of God. Now notice this. The pursuit of finding the knowledge of God. The pursuit of finding the knowledge of God. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Now, when you read the newspaper, unless you're a garage sale junkie, you're not really, or unless you know somebody that has an article, or unless you're looking in the obits, you're not really searching, certainly not diligently. You read it, throw it away, wait on the next one, put it down for the dog, or whatever you do with your newspaper. But it's not, you do an internet search, you get the answer, and you're done. And we've gotten to a place now where you want to try to think up the right two or three words to use in a Google search. You type them in, and bing, you want it to be the first or certainly on the first page. And if you can't find it on the first page, you go back and redo your search until you find it. Why? We want it quick. Type it in, get the answer, go tell somebody what you know. That's the way we are now. In the Bible, when it comes to understanding and when it comes to finding the knowledge of God, there is a pursuit. That's something that you have to stay with. And it's like seeking for her as for silver and searching for her as for hid treasures. Well, when he compares what we're doing with wisdom, what we're doing with the knowledge of God, when he compares this to silver and hid treasures, you know what he's emphasizing? The value of finding the knowledge of God. This is the most important thing. He said, listen, he says in Proverbs chapter 8, this wisdom is better than silver, and it's better than gold. In other words, it's more valuable even than rubies. It is extremely valuable. In other words, it is worth your effort to try to find out what God said. It's that valuable. It's worth that much to you. Also, if you know what anybody ever went through in the gold rush, or what they do when they try to find silver, or what they do when they're trying to read the maps and find the hid treasure, it involves a lot of work. It involves a lot of work to search for hid treasure and to seek for silver. That's not just something. Have you ever gone on a deal where they say, okay, part of our tour, we're going to go down here to the little river and we're going to give you a pan and you're going to pan for gold. You ever done that? You've never done it? 2, 3, 4, 16? Okay. And there's some guy up the stream, you know. And you come up, you go, wow, look at there. Well, you know, usually you don't find much, right? If you were going to find enough to make it worth your while, you'd have to stay with that a long, long time. One place we went where they were doing that up in Alaska, the overburden was huge. They had to keep hauling it off, and the little take was so very, very small, there wasn't much to it, indicating it sure took a lot of work in order to be able to find something worth value. Also, it also tells you it's going to take you a lot of time. It'll take you a lot of time. Now, let me help you to understand something. I gave you an illustration about how I sat there studying out a verse of Scripture for 8 hours until I got the answer. It's not always like that. I didn't mean to indicate to you that it's always going to take you a lot of time each time you go to get something. Sometimes God's going to give you something right now. And sometimes it's going to be a while. But here's the point. The point is, if a person is going to work a silver mine to really get it silver, or if he's going to search around for a hidden treasure, it's going to take him a lot of time over time. Over a period of time. To find what he's looking for. Do you understand? Some people are still looking for hid treasure that came off of some prior ship that, you know, 200 years ago. They're still looking for that treasure. Some have died and never found it. We have a radio listener. He's been calling for a number of years. I can't remember when he started calling. But when he did, I would preach on the radio and he'd call me after the radio broadcast and he would want to know an understanding of what I'd said. And I would try to simplify it, and he couldn't get it. He said, Brother Weller, he said, I'm stumped. I still don't get that. I said, well, you're just going to have to keep studying it, I guess, because I don't know how else to put it. Well, this has been going on for years, and I'd get telephone calls at least, I'd say, once a month from him, and we'd go over things. You know what he's been doing lately? He's been calling, and he's asking questions, and the questions are so brilliant. The questions are great. They're deep. They're insightful. They're necessary. And he would say to me things like, Brother Weller, I'm so thankful for your radio broadcast and for directing me to the words of God and telling me that I needed to keep reading. He says, you know something? Now I read and now I understand. It takes time. So if you're reading and you're not thinking that you're getting much out of it, you may be getting a whole lot more out of it than you think you're getting. Because what you're doing is you're laying a foundation for what you're going to read and study later upon which you can build. And with that foundation, it's going to grow in until finally you have a great understanding in what you've been reading. But it starts with the recognition that it's going to take time. I'm going to be at this not for a week or a month or a year. I'm going to be at this for the rest of my life. You know, something else is that it shows us the persistence, like I said, the rest of my life. It also shows you the difficulty. A hid treasure is not easy to find. And for you to be able to search the Scripture and get something out of that, you have to recognize that it is going to be difficult, and it doesn't just come up to the surface and lay up for you all the time. Sometimes God gives you a nugget. Sometimes you're digging around in there till you're pretty dirty with getting it all out of there, so to speak. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. Knowing this also shows us the goal, because look what he says in verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Don't stop till you find that. God promised if you stayed with it and employed the process and the prayer and the pursuit, you would come up with it. And He will give it to you. And you can be sure of that. And then let me say this. Not only do we have these three things, but we also have the prerequisite. The prerequisite for finding the knowledge of God. And you know what that is? It's in verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Do you understand the fear of the Lord? I mean, you know what the fear of the Lord is, but he said, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And there are a lot of people, particularly people who get saved, that don't understand the fear of the Lord. They know the love of God, and they're very thankful for the love of God. They know the forbearance of God, because God didn't kill them before they got saved. They know the loving kindness of God, because he gave Jesus Christ for their righteousness. They understand the mercy of God because now they are forgiven sinners and children of God. They understand something about the grace of God, but the fear of God they don't really understand. How do you fear somebody that you love that much that you're not afraid of anymore because he's not going to send you to hell? And here's what I'm going to tell you. Nobody can tell you till you understand it for yourself. I know you want somebody to come up here and say, this is what happens to you, and then you know the fear of the Lord. You understand it when you have it, and it comes from what you've just studied. Years ago, we have a friend of ours who is in an Asian country. Very, very, very difficult language. And so he hired two language teachers, and he had one for 4 hours in the morning and one for 4 hours in the evening. And one of those language teachers was Buddhist. And after some period of time, this went on for 5 years. Plus the guy would go out into the community and talk and use the language and all that. So I mean, he really worked at it. His Buddhist language teacher said, tell me about salvation in Jesus Christ. And my friend said, when you have him, you'll understand. That's all he told him. And you know what it did? It forced that guy to go in here and start digging and searching and looking and crying out. And one day, months later, maybe even a year later, he came back to my friend and he smiled. He said, I understand. I understand. That's the way it is with the fear of the Lord. You understand it over a period of time when God gives you that understanding. But that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He said in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's when you really get it. I had a friend of mine one time and he says, I'll tell you what fear of the Lord is. It's knowing what to be afraid of. We had a good testimony on Wednesday night. You ever been afraid of cancer? You ever been afraid your children would die without the Lord? You ever been afraid you might end up bankrupt? You ever been afraid when you lost your job? You ever been afraid what somebody might do to you in an employment situation or in a friendship situation or in an acquaintance situation? You ever been afraid of an audit? The fear of the Lord teaches you what to be afraid of. It tells you to put all of your trust in the Lord God so that those things don't scare you. Because God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when we falter, and we all do, in those fears, you know what it tells us? We're not there yet. We're still learning. We're still students. We're still growing. We're still searching. We're still seeking. It's still not ingrained in us as much as God would have it to be. And then finally, in our text is the promise of finding the knowledge of God. Verse 5, which is, as I said, the goal, but look at it as the promise of finding the knowledge of God. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Watch it. And find the knowledge of God. That's a promise. If you want to take it that way, you do those things and you'll find that knowledge of God. In other words, to go through what you've seen today is not a vain pursuit. We try every way we can in this church to help you with Sunday school classes, with sermons in the morning on Sunday, in the evening on Sunday, on Wednesday evening with sermons. We try every way to help you with radio broadcasts, internet posts, Bible studies for the men and the women. But we cannot do your work for you. You have to do it. You must go through this process. You must pray and ask God to give you something out of the Scripture. You must pursue it and do the diligent effort of searching the Scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, Jesus Christ said, like the Bereans, searching daily. You need to meet the prerequisite in the fear of the Lord, and God will fulfill His promise and give you the knowledge of God. Now, our prayer today is not a salvation message, not a message that chases you down about sin or anything else in your life. It's to help you. It's to help you. Because if you and I can nourish ourselves in the words of God each and every day, We can live for Christ because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our prayer is this has been a help to you. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to open the Scriptures and see very clearly, very plainly, very simply a profound lesson for us on understanding the words of God. I pray, Father, we'll be faithful to the things we've heard today and put these in practice in our lives. And that we'll see by the end of this year, should you tarry that long, that by employing these things in our lives, we truly have become partakers in the knowledge of God and begun to learn. I pray, Father, be a lifelong pursuit for every child of God that's here within our voice today. For we ask you to do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.